Good morning. Time for another Spotlight here on Red River Radio. I'm Kermit Poling, and joining me in the studio, as he has many times, the music director of the Shreveport Symphony Orchestra, Michael Butterman, along with the guest soloist coming up on the concert on the 27th of the month.
He'll also be performing on a chamber music concert coming up this Sunday afternoon.
That is John Henry Crawford, and we're glad to have him come back, as he has performed with the orchestra many times. John Henry, it's great to have you back in the studio as well.
Great to be here. Great to be here.
And the concert coming up is called The Great C Major, referring to the Schubert Symphony that's on the concert, but there's more than that. And Michael, why don't you talk about what we got coming up?
Well, let me talk about this pairing, I guess, first of all. So, yes, we are playing the C Major Symphony of Schubert, which we can talk about in a little bit. But the concerto that John Henry is playing is one by a composer named Friedrich Gulda, who was an Austrian pianist who was known primarily, I think, for his interpretations of the Viennese classics like Haydn and Mozart and Beethoven and Schubert, and Bach, for that matter. Not so much Viennese, but nonetheless in the earlier part of what we consider classical music history, I suppose. And yet, there was another side of him, which was a side that was fascinated with jazz, improvisation. He concertized extensively with people like Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea. It was an incredible free spirit in addition to that. So he was also a composer in addition to being a classical musician and a jazz performer as well. And one of his relatively few compositions is this concerto that John Henry is playing, which was written in 1980 for Heinrich Schiff, I believe it was. And it's a piece that, wow. Well, it's it's really hard to describe. It's fantastically interesting, I think, and incredibly eclectic. Is that a way to describe
absolutely, it? Absolutely, absolutely. It's so varied in its styles. From one movement to the next, you have what's kind of a big band jazz riff to this, you know, idyllic, beautiful, slow movement that's has these kind of rolling melodies from what might be the Alpine, you know, Austrian Alps or something. So it's really interesting how it goes back and forth between these different styles.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, you're amplified. We got a drum set and like basically
guitar.
Yeah. There's a rhythm, and there's some stuff in that first movement in particular where it sounds like, I mean, if this were a different instrument, if this were a different kind of piece, I would say you're almost like shredding. You
know, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. It's very much a rock concert for the cello, a rock concerto in a sense.
I think so. Yeah. Especially at the beginning. And then, as you say, it goes into this sort of Alpine, maybe there's a sense of the Austrian Ländler, the basically their version of the waltz. Then the last movement is to me like almost like a parade. You know?
Yeah, it's like a marching band.
Yeah,
this big fanfare.
Right.
It's really parts of the piece are almost comical in the way that he's written it.
It's
fantastic.
I think really quite irreverent, I suppose. You know, there's no strings in this other than bass.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right. So the violin's not playing. Your cohorts in the cello section are not playing. It's really a wind band and cello concerto, I guess you would say. So I have to ask you, when I thought about doing this and we contacted you, is this a piece that you had either studied or knew about, or was this one of these things where you said, oh, I don't know, and I got to check this out? What's the word in the cello world?
No, my immediate reaction was yes.
Oh, yeah, good.
it's you know, it's a rare day when someone asks you to play the Gulda Cello Concerto. It's one of those pieces that is not performed enough, in my opinion, and it's such a gem in the kind of outside of the standard repertoire. That you're just kind of, I think most cellists are probably dying for someone to ask them to play the Gulda Concerto.
Yeah.
So I'd heard it, you know, dozens of times, and I'd kind of played around with it a little bit, but I'd never actually learned it. So it was a great excuse to do so.
Yeah. Well, it's probably not one of those pieces that you would learn on spec, as it were, you know.
Right, right.
You'd want to make sure you had an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Coming up to play. So the last time we worked together was on, you know, the big piece in the repertoire,
yep.
The Dvorak concerto. And now we're doing, you know, this, we've sort of done the extremes, haven't we?
Right, absolutely. From one end to the other.
Yeah, right. So this is also, I mean, I think it's maybe worth saying just a little bit more about this guy. I mean, people should check him out on YouTube,
you know,
I think.
Well, my familiarity with him, now you were talking about his interpretations of, you know, Viennese composers,
right,
and all of that, but I'm thinking of like Birdland and,
right,
and yeah, no, he's got a piece on the Doors. I can't remember what it's called, but more rock and jazz oriented. In fact, there's a there's a competition, a jazz competition that he started as
right,
well.
Right, absolutely. An improvisation kind of festival.
Right. And that's how I have him fixated in my mind, and yet he's got this great classical background as well. Very, you were saying eclectic, just a very eclectic person as well as
no
a
doubt.
Musician.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, revered by the classical world. He was the teacher of the great Marta Argerich, pianist. If I'm not mistaken, he turned down a medal from the Viennese Beethoven Society.
I heard the same. Yep.
Yeah.
I think, to
the effect of, well, I don't keep your...
Apparently, the way this piece kind of came about was Heinrich Schiff wanted to record the Beethoven sonatas with him.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he said, well, first, we're going to do a cello concerto. And I guess eventually Heinrich Schiff forgot about the Beethoven cycle because they ended up playing this so much. So he kind of, I guess, was sneaky and found a way around it to write his own cello concerto. But really interesting guy for sure.
So here's a piece by for cello by a pianist. We're talking about playing another piece for cello by a pianist. This slow movement of the Chopin sonata. I'm wondering if in either of those pieces you have a sense as a cellist that, wow, this fellow had really great musical ideas, but boy, it sure doesn't lie comfortably on the instrument, for example. Or do you suppose that he worked with Schiff on some of the details of the writing in the concerto?
I suppose he did, actually, because a lot of the melodic material is quite well suited to the cello. There are passages with, you know, the big kind of technical, the jazz riffs, the big leaps and kind of sawing away that are more challenging, but none of it is out of the realm of possibility. Mm-hmm. And I think he also left a lot of the piece, or a good part of the piece, up to the cellist as far as what to do in certain places, like in the cadenza, which is the whole third movement. It's just titled cadenza. The cello has two sections where it actually, the cellist is supposed to come up with his or her own ideas about what the cadenza entails. So you basically just improvise. And so that's been a really fun part of the piece, to be able to think about, okay, what can I steal from these other movements and bring it into this cadenza? And what can I add of my own? So it's a fun thing to do because you get to just invent your own part of the piece in a way. But it all lies very well on the cello. The Chopin, which is one of my favorite slow movements of any piece written for cello, lies very comfortably on the instrument. The register is this kind of beautiful mid-range down to the low end of the cello. Really, I think suits the cello fantastically.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous piece. It's sort of unique, and it's, I mean, he didn't write much chamber music. It's the only piece for cello, isn't it? That he wrote?
Apparently, the cello is his second favorite instrument after the piano.
There we go.
So you know, nothing for violin, nothing for right. You know, viola or any other string instrument. So the cello, I think, was quite dear to him.
Sure. Well, shall we? Shall we play it?
Sure.
Let's movement from the, and this is the slow movement from the sonata, cello sonata, right?
Yes.
All right. So for the Largo from the Cello Sonata of Friedrich Chopin, as performed by John Henry Crawford on cello and Michael Butterman, music director of the Shreveport Symphony, on piano. Just a beautiful interlude here in our spotlight for the morning, and the parallel being that the piece that John Henry is going to be performing with the orchestra towards the end of the month is also a cello piece written by a pianist.
Right. And also on that program, as we mentioned earlier, is the great C major symphony of Schubert, called Great because it's significant and long, as opposed to a somewhat shorter C major symphony that Schubert wrote. But it is also great in the adjective
sense.
Quality, yeah. Exactly. Exactly right. Now, you know, Schubert, I mean, we were just talking about Gulda as being kind of a free spirit and eccentric and so on. I think... I have a feeling that Schubert would have been a little bit the same way. He seemed to never really settle down. He had that early romantic wandering poet kind of life, whether he wanted it or not. And one of the consequences of that was that he wrote all of this fantastic music for orchestra and heard almost none of it in his lifetime, including the Unfinished Symphony and the Great C Major Symphony. This is a piece that almost wouldn't have come to light had it not been for Robert Schumann, who managed to get in contact with Ferdinand, Schubert's brother, and Ferdinand said, "Well, I've got, you know, all these shoeboxes full of stuff here. If you want to have a look at it." And Schumann, you know, gazed upon these manuscripts, and just, you know, his jaw apparently kind of hit the floor, and showed it to his friend Mendelssohn, who gave the first performance in Leipzig. So this symphony, you know, it had a kind of a tortured early history. I think it was the ninth symphony, and that already at that time, this number had a kind of a loaded association because of Beethoven's monumental choral symphony. And this piece is essentially almost as long as the Ninth Symphony of Beethoven, but it doesn't have that same, certainly doesn't have a choral finish to it. And I think a lot of people thought of Schubert as, well, you know, he's a leader composer. He's a melodist. He thinks in miniatures. And so what is he doing writing a 50-minute symphony? And yet, this piece, over time, Schumann's judgment has been validated. It is certainly one of the great pieces in the orchestral canon. A four-movement symphony that has tremendous rhythmic energy in the first and last movements. A really melancholy, beautiful second movement that has just a gorgeous melody for the oboe, kind of alternating between major and minor. That sort of the pain of life seems to kind of keep asserting itself. You can almost hear, if you know Winterreise, and you know one of his song cycles about a winter's journey. There's a lot of that same sort of melancholy to it. But a piece that I think really takes you on a you know, kind of an epic journey, and he does it with a, you know, relatively modestly sized orchestra. It's not, I mean, we have trombones, but you know, it's certainly not, you know, Mahler, Bruckner kind of sized, or even Tchaikovsky sized orchestra for that matter. But there's a substance to this work, both in terms of its structure and just the nobility of its, like the very opening with this gorgeous horn theme. That anyway, it's a piece that I've wanted to do here in Shreveport for a long time, and I thought this was actually an apt opportunity to share it with this other.
Sure. So you have
contrasting work.
Yeah, and contrasting also in that the Schubert is likely to be well known to the audience coming to the performance, whereas the Gulda, for many, that's going to be the first opportunity to hear it.
So, I'm sure it will. Yeah. I'm sure. So I hope that people will actually take a moment to check out wherever they can get a little snippet of the Gulda, because it's incredibly charming and appealing and catchy and all of those things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the performance is on Saturday the 27th, January 27th, and that's at the Riverview Theater, downtown Shreveport, as always. Ticket information, by the way, is on the Shreveport Symphony website. That is shreveportsymphony.com. You can also call The box office, that is 318-227-8863, or you can remember that is T-U-N-E, which is how I remember it. It's usually the numbers that mix me up. But again, the performance coming up on the 27th, and it is these two pieces that we've been talking about here, the Schubert great, quote-unquote, great symphony, the ninth, and the Cello Concerto of Gulda, John Henry Crawford, the soloist on the cello concerto.
Obviously, we are delighted to welcome John Henry back to Shreveport now that he is having success all over the world, and it's great that he's still willing to come back and share his time with us here. He's also playing some chamber music.
January 21st.
Indeed, and the 21st at 2 o'clock at Centenary at the Anderson Auditorium. There we're playing the Trout Quintet of Schubert.
Schubert, there
yes.
you go.
And also a jazz-inspired piece, a little bit of a suite for jazz, cello, and piano by Claude Bolling. And, sorry, is there another work on the...
Well, it's those two, but yeah, the Bolling has drums as well.
Yes, right.
And it's when I first heard the piece, you know, it starts off with the cello kind of almost fugue-type motive, and then the piano comes in, and then, you know, a couple minutes into the piece, I hear these kind of drums going on, and it just gets better as it goes on. It's a really great work.
Absolutely.
And, all right. So that's Sunday, the 21st of January, 3 p.m. The Bowling Suite for cello and jazz piano trio, I guess, or at least parts of it that you'll be playing, and the Trout Quintet you mentioned, and that also has Tuyen Huang on it, the
correct
gold medal winner from the Weidman competition from previous year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
along with members of the Shreveport Symphony, so two guests joining SSO members, and anyway, a really lovely afternoon, and one that I think kind of sets up the following weekend very well.
On the 27th. So the chamber concert, of course, that's a free concert. For tickets for the 27th, for the concert with the Schubert and the Gulda, again, the 318-227-TUNE or 8863, or go online at ShreveportSymphony.com. So John Henry, thanks for being here. Michael, as always, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.